I titled this today, actually I had two titles for it, and I settled on one, and I'll tell you what the other one was later, but I titled it, I Should Have Known Better. Now I promise you this is not going to be one of those hoop and holler, get up out of your chair and run around the church type sermons. I'll be lucky to get any amens out of this unless I ask for them. And but this is one of the kind of messages that really gets down into the inner core of our heart, inner core of our life. It gets right down to where the rubber meets the road, and we've all had to deal with the subject that I'm talking about this morning. There was a man that tore his rotator cuff, and it was pretty bad. And he went to the orthopedic surgeon to get it fixed, and the guy told him what all he was going to have to do, and the guy said, "No, I don't want to do that. Can I just go through therapy?" And the doctor said, "It's going to take you a while, but you can go through therapy if you don't want surgery." So he went through therapy. He went twice a week, 90 minutes each time. After a few months, his shoulder was much better. He felt like he was ready to go back to work. And he had been to therapy, but he was sick and tired of therapy because it was taking all this time out of his weekly schedule. So he went back to the doctor and he said, "Doctor, I feel fine. I feel great. There's no pain. Will you release me to go back to work? It doesn't hurt anymore. I'm fine just now." And here's what the doctor said to him. "Just because it doesn't hurt doesn't mean it's healed." Just because it doesn't hurt right now doesn't mean it's healed. I think I'm going to go somewhere with this today that's going to get right into the very heart of the heart of our problems today. There's some things that will wound us so deeply that we'll never, ever forget about it. And even when it doesn't hurt anymore, we've all been wounded, we've all been hurt, but there's still some wounds inside of us that will rise up every once in a while and paralyze us or get our eyes off of God or off of the Word. It may not hurt right now. We may be able to function right now, like the shoulder blade. We might be able to function, but there are things in our lives that if we don't get them totally healed, I'm telling you what, you'll go through life. Yes, you will function, but you will have pain and you will have deep hurts that will be resurrected ever so often. And today I want to talk to you about that. Is that okay? I think this will apply to every person. I don't care what your age is today. This is going to apply. And I believe if the truth be told, there's a whole lot of people. In fact, there's a lot of people in here today who go day in and go out and you function, but you're wounded. You hide it. Somebody asks you how you're doing, you hide it. But when you lay on your pillow at night, you begin to question these things and you wonder why it still hurts, why it isn't totally healed. And I want to suggest to you today that we have wounds that the natural eye cannot see. We've got wounds that nobody even notices because they're so deeply embedded in us. And let's talk about that for just a minute. And so I want to talk about being betrayed. Everybody say betrayed.
Betrayed.
Everybody in here has been betrayed. And I know the first thing most people think about when they hear the word betrayed is spousal betrayment. But that is included in betrayal. But I'll tell you something. There's a lot more to betrayal than a husband-wife relationship. And over my life, I look back over my life as a pastor. I've been at this church 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, something like that now. And it feels like I can look back over my decades here, and there's a lot of times that we have been betrayed. And there's nothing that hurts quite as deep as betrayal. Come on now. June 1, 2025. I've come to tell you the good news that betrayal is an inevitable reality. We will all face some type and have to go through some type of betrayal. You can't get out of high school without being betrayed. You can't walk into adulthood and not know what betrayal is. You can't dibble and dabble into romance and not find out something about betrayal. You can't mature in a friendship without betrayal. There's always going to be betrayal. How many of those friends will betray you?
Oh, yeah.
Betray you, right. Friends will betray you.
Yeah.
Some of those high school friends that you thought you'd be friends with forever betray you. You can't climb the ladder of your career without betrayal. And guess what? You'll never make it to your funeral without some moments of betrayal, because betrayal is here to stay. What we have to do is learn how to walk past that, through that, and not let it torment us anymore. Because betrayal does at least two things I'm going to talk about today. And there's another one I may come back, talk about it later. But there's two major things that betrayal does to us. And if we don't learn to overcome this and get victory over it, every time it crops up, we're going to go back into some type of depression. Now look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. We're going to start there, and then if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Judges, we're going to go to the book of Judges and look at a story in that Old Testament book as well. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, if you found it, say, I've got it. If you're still looking, say, I'm still looking. Okay. If you said, I'm still looking, look behind me. Okay. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. These things happened to them, talking about these Old Testament people, that everything they went through. All these people have gone through so much, but they happened to be examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of this age. Well, how many believes we might be living at the end of this age? And Paul says, I want you to realize these things are written so that you can learn from their experiences. Learn how to handle the things that you're going through by reading about the things that they went through. Those things that happened to the people in the Bible are examples for us. And they were written so that we might learn from them. And that's what Paul is saying. Listen, use the Bible as a mirror. Put that mirror in front of you, Dwayne. Mirror, mirror. That was a great word last Sunday. Put that mirror in front of you and read and find out, you know, how it happened to them and how they got through it. What happened to this one and how he got through it. Because they're written for our example so that we will know how to escape such junk. Can I hear an amen? So once again, I want to reiterate that betrayal is an unavoidable and inevitable experience in life. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, for one, I've lived longer than most of you have, right? Let me look around here. Yeah? Uncle Gary's not here, and Butch Priest is not here, so I guess I'm the oldest one here today. So trust me, betrayal's coming. It will come. But if you can see it in page after page of the Bible, you will see betrayal in the Word of God. How many knows David was betrayed by his power-hungry son Absalom, who wanted to take the kingdom from him? David was, can you imagine being betrayed by your own flesh and blood son? How many knows it happens? I said it happens. How do we handle that? How do we get through that? How do we get victory over the fact that my son wants to betray me? Joseph is betrayed by his brothers. Remember the story. How many knows Joseph was indeed, he was betrayed. He was sold into a pit. And you know the rest of the story. Martha was betrayed when Mary wouldn't come out of the kitchen to help her, when she wouldn't come out of the living room at the feet of Jesus to help her cook the meal for Jesus. She felt like, I'm doing this all by myself and nobody's here to help me. Sarah was betrayed by Abraham. Even though Sarah gave Abraham permission, how many knows he betrayed his wife? It don't make it right because she said, go ahead. Come on, church. This is not an X-rated sermon, but I want to tell you something. Just because your wife says it's okay doesn't mean it's okay for you to do that. All right. Just because the Supreme Court says you can have abortion doesn't mean it's right for you to have an abortion. Okay. So Sarah was betrayed by her husband. Remember when Paul was betrayed by John Mark? He said, John Mark, I don't want you with me anymore. You're not what I'm looking for to serve with me in the ministry. Laban, remember Jacob was betrayed by Laban, his uncle. Isn't that right? He betrayed him and gave him one woman instead of the other woman that he worked for so many years to get. Esau is betrayed by Jacob when Jacob tricks his father into giving him the blessing instead of his older brother. And we all know, of course, that Jesus was betrayed. And he wasn't just betrayed by Judas. Listen, Jesus was betrayed by Peter also. I was thinking about that on the way to church this morning. You know, because Peter was the first apostolic pastor of the New Testament church. He was the big dude, or as Luke would say, the big wheel, right? He was the first big God-anointed pastor of the church of Jerusalem. But he also betrayed Jesus when Jesus walked by him and he shook his head and said, "I don't know who that is." It's easy for us to point the finger at Judas, but the difference was Peter repented, right? So one of the examples that I want to give to you this morning is from the book of Judges, and it's concerning the relationship with Samson and Delilah. Remember the story? Samson and Delilah. We have the scriptures for that, I think. We'll read there in just a minute. Actually, if you don't mind, Brother Blake, if you would just start at verse 17 today instead of reading all those others, we'll start at verse 17. And on through. Samson and Delilah, we read that story and we think that's a love story. But you know what? It's not a love story. There never was love in that relationship. It's a story about a woman that wanted to exercise power over a man and take advantage of him and get him kicked out of ministry so that she could be rich. I'll share that with you in just a minute, okay? Stick with me. Stick with me for just a few minutes. It's a story. It actually starts in Judges 13 and it ends in chapter 16. I was going to start at verse 10, but I think I want to start at verse number 17. And just before 17, the scripture says, Delilah says, "You fooled me these three times. You've told me three times how that you will, you know, get weak and be like every other people," because Samson wasn't going to tell her the truth. He was just teasing her. He was just playing with her. And so she finally gets really upset and says, "Listen, Samson, three times you have lied to me. How about telling me the truth this time so that I can find out where your strength really comes from?" So in verse 17, we'll pick it up there. Verse 17, "Finally, Samson shared his secret with her. 'My hair has never been cut, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else.'" Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth. How many sees a little bit of betrayal coming here? She finally told him the truth. Or he told her the truth. So she sent for the Philistine rulers and said, "Come back one more time, for he has finally told me his secret." So the Philistine rulers returned with the money. Returned with what? The money? She wasn't interested in his strength. She was interested in his money. Stick with me for a little while. "Returned with their money in their hands. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap. And then she called in a man to shave off of his head." A lot of times we think Delilah shaved his head. You see pictures of Delilah. Delilah didn't shave Samson's head. It was one of those Philistine jerks. And came in there and shaved off the 7 locks of his hair. And in this way, she began to bring him down. Say that with me. She began to bring him down. Do I sound like I'm in a barrel to anybody? Okay, just to me, okay. "She began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Then she cries out, 'Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you.' When he woke up, he thought, 'I will do as I've done before. I'll shake myself free.' But he did not realize that the Lord had left him." Isn't that a sad statement? He did not. He was asleep, and the Lord left him. "So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. But before long," I love this last phrase, "before long, his hair began to grow back." My second title was, "Your hair will grow again."
Amen.
Luke, you've shared with me a few times recently about Samson and Delilah, and you've talked to me a little bit about the revelation that God has given you there. And it's really more than, it's not a love story, folks. It's not I don't even know if you'd call it a lust story or not. I think it was about a woman that wanted to get to a guy's money and become rich. In fact, we're told, you can look at this up. Don't quote me on this. Look it up yourself and see how much, it's not in the Bible, but you can find out maybe through Josephus or some historian about how much money she received for giving away the secret. It's an interesting study you might find in another commentary somehow. We all probably know what it's like to be betrayed by someone close to us. How many knows it's hard to be betrayed by someone you don't know? Aren't we usually betrayed by a friend or a loved one? We're not, you know, somebody, you know, have you ever heard anybody say this? You don't know who they are, but they say, trust me. You know what I want to say? Why should I trust you? I don't even know you. Is anybody else in agreement with that? It's like, why should I trust you? Well, I'm a good guy. I dress well. I go to church. Look at me. You can trust me. I don't want to trust you until I get to know you. And that's why I say people that you don't know or people that aren't close to you can't betray you. But I'll tell you what, those that are close to you know how to put the sword in the back and twist it, right? Can I hear an amen? You may know what it's like to be betrayed by someone that said, I do, on the day of your marriage. I'll forsake all others. I'll forsake all others and keep me only unto you as long as we both shall live. You know, and maybe you're from one of those type of families that's had that, something like that happen to you. I've had that happen to me. Darlene's had that happen to you. And you probably know someone here today that's had that happen to them. You know, but it hurts when you're betrayed. Now, let me ask you something, and I don't want you to think very long on this, but when was the first time you were betrayed? Do not answer. And don't spend too much time thinking, but when was the first time you were betrayed? Okay, you got that? Now let me ask you another question. When was the last time you were betrayed? When's the last time you were betrayed? I don't care how big your Bible is. I don't care how many times a week you go to church. I don't care how many hymns you sing out of the church hymn book or off of the wall. I don't care how many times you're on your knees praying. I'm telling you what, it doesn't matter. The enemy takes us through seasons of painful betrayal. How do we get through this? How do we handle the betrayal? I want to teach you this morning how not to avoid betrayal, because we can't avoid it, Carol. It's coming. But how do we get through betrayal and don't let it kill us? Story of Samson. Allow me to read this commentary. The story of Samson and Delilah is one of the most famous tales of betrayal in the Bible. Samson is a man gifted with immense strength by God. He falls in love with Delilah. The Philistine, how many know she didn't fall in love with him, but he fell in love with her. Okay, and so the Philistines bribe Delilah to discover the secret of his strength, which lies in his uncut hair. After several failed attempts, she finally persuades Samson to reveal his secret. While he's asleep on her lap, she calls in the men to shave off his hair, and his strength leaves him. And this is the moment that marks the tragic turning point in Samson's life. He's captured. His eyes are gouged out. He is enslaved by the Philistines. His betrayal came by someone he loved and left him physically and emotionally broken. And I want to tell you something, that's how betrayal can strip you and steal. Amen. If you're watching today online and you've ever been betrayed, listen closely. Stay with us till the end. You know what it's like to be betrayed. You here today know what it's like to be betrayed. You've been lied on, right? You don't have to shake your head, but just I know you have. You've been lied on. You've been cheated on. Somebody said, you've never really been cheated on until you've been cheated on by one of your fellow church members, your brothers or sisters in the Lord. Maybe some of you today feel used. She's just using me. Or he's just using me. He just wants my money. He just wants my body. She just wants the prestige of my last name. And you get betrayed. People get betrayed. You feel like you're being taken for granted. How about this? You've been exposed. Someone broke your trust. Someone destroyed your relationship. I think I can say we all know what it's like to be betrayed somewhere in our life. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. There's a scripture in Zechariah. Blake, I'm not sure if I gave it to you or not, but there's a scripture in Zechariah 13 and 6 that says, "And if someone asks you, what about those wounds on your chest? He will say, I was wounded at my friend's house. I was wounded by a friend." You ever been wounded at a friend's house? You ever been in a hurt in a relationship that you thought you could trust? Let me ask you this one. Have you ever been broken by someone that said, I love you? We all know what it's like to be broken. I'm telling you, just because you can function today, just because you can get up, shower, clean up, drive your car to church, and it's coming here and praise and worship God, and you're functioning, doesn't mean that you still don't have issues to be dealt with. Now, I'm not trying to be some kind of psychologist or psychiatrist or counselor. I'll leave that to Carol. She's the professional, and she knows how great of a counselor I am. She's told me she'll never come to me again, and I'm not in the counseling business, but I want you to know we all know what it's like to be able to function, but know deep in our heart we're hurting because we were betrayed. Amen. I'll say it again. Just because it doesn't hurt doesn't mean that it's healed. Would you say that with me one time? Just because it doesn't hurt doesn't mean that it is healed. I believe betrayal is one of Satan's strongest and most strategic tools he has that leaves us on the sidelines, just like Solomon, just like Samson. When Delilah got done with Samson, how many knows it was over? It was all over. I mean, he had one more great feat that we know about, but just think about this. His ministry was over. The anointing was gone. His future was wiped out. He had a great future. He was a mightily gifted man of God, but yet because of this one act of betrayal, he lost it all. We all know somebody that may have lost it all because they were betrayed. But you got to realize, how are we going to deal with betrayal? How are we going to pick ourselves back up again? How are we going to press through and fight when we know that the enemy is trying to get us to stay on the sidelines and just exist? Amen? Okay, here we go. This is number one. The very first thing about betrayal, write this down. If you're taking notes or you got your phone out, you act like you're reading the scriptures, but you're really playing words with friends. Write this down. I saw an advertisement the other day that had a guy sitting, had a big book, and looked like he was reading his book, but inside the book was his phone, and he was playing games on his phone while everybody else thought he was, yeah, we know who you are out there. We got cameras in this place, you know. I'm going to read this. The very first thing about betrayal is that it creates a disbelief that causes you to doubt your discernment. The very first thing about betrayal is it creates a disbelief that causes you to doubt your discernment. You see, the whole end result of betrayal, Satan wants you to lose confidence in your own discernment. I want to tell you something about my wife. There's people that like her. There's people that don't like her. There's people that understand her. There's some that don't understand her. She can push somebody's button and they get mad, but she can also, she knows how to help heal brokenhearted people. Well, I'll tell you something about my wife. When she says, I hear from God, she hears from God. And she doesn't say that very often because she knows how, we've all seen how people abuse that, right? You know, every day God's speaking to them and telling them to buy cornflakes instead of Cheerios, or God spoke to them to buy Sweet and Low instead of Stevia. I'm talking about God speaks to my wife. When God speaks to her, you can mark it down. It is what it is. I've never seen her miss it. I've never seen her miss it. Whether it was one-on-one talking or counseling with others. And she's developed that gift a whole lot more than I have. God's given her that grace gift more than he's given it to me. But one of the most perplexing things that you can go through is when you know God's told you something about somebody, and that something stands in your face and says, no, I didn't do it. You're wrong. What happens? You begin to doubt your discernment. You begin to doubt, did I really hear from God? I begin to doubt, was this from God or was this tacos from last night? Did I hear this from the Lord? Is this really from God? And so the very first tool that the enemy wants to destroy in your life is the ability to discern what's of God and what's not of God. What's God's voice and what's not God's voice. You get betrayed by someone you think you could trust. The first thing you do when you get betrayed is you want to go to them. You really do. As a pastor, I want to go and say, are you serious? You got to be kidding me. How could you do that? Anybody listening today? Am I boring anybody? If I'm boring you, you feel free to leave, because I want to get through this today. But this is something we need. This is not going to, I told you, you're not going to be running around shouting this morning. We'll save that for another service. But how could you do that to me? After all we've been through, I'm not here to embarrass anybody, folks. I'm not here to make anybody turn red in the face today. And if you think I'm preaching to you, listen, I'll tell you like I told them Wednesday night. I'm just shooting down a hole, and if you're in that hole, so be it. So, after all I've done, and this is the way you treat me, it happens on the job. People climbing the ladder of promotion. And they think they've got a real good friend that they're working together, and all of a sudden they find out that person's heel is on their head as they're climbing up the ladder trying to push him back down. We've all been betrayed by a friend or a family member or an employer or something. Maybe you've been betrayed by your boss. Maybe you confided in somebody and you shared something so personal with them. And then what they do, they tell one, you know, after you tell one person, it's no longer a secret. And so they go blurt it out to everybody. They've betrayed you. They've betrayed your trust. They betrayed your confidence. One of the things they instilled us at law enforcement chaplaincy school was never, ever, ever betray confidence of an officer. They will talk to you about things that they won't talk to their wife about. Don't ever repeat it. Don't ever tell another officer or tell the superior or the sheriff or another deputy or tell your wife or anybody what you talked about, because you are betraying the confidence. And I'm going to tell you, when somebody betrays your confidence, it's hard to trust them again. At least smile. Look like you're act like you're enjoying it. If I knew you were going to cheat, I would have never said I do. If I knew you were going to cheat, I would have never brought you in as a business partner. Now, there's a lot of people that do that. A lot of Christians go in business with each other. But you need to pray and make sure that it is a God thing and not just a friendship thing or he's got expertise, knowledge. You better make sure it's a God thing and not just a casual thing, right? You got to go into business with somebody. If I'd have known you'd tell everybody, I wouldn't tell you what I was going through. Amen. So what happens is, it leaves you in a place where you begin to doubt yourself. You begin to doubt yourself. Remember when Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God really say don't eat of the fruit? God's on an ego trip. He's just afraid that if you eat that you become like him. What happens is we begin to say, can I really hear the voice of God? Can I really trust can I trust the preacher? Can I trust the word of the Lord? Can I trust what he's preaching? Can I trust what the word of God is saying today? And so I know every one of us have been there, and I've got to run through this real quick here. The enemy wants you to doubt your discernment. He wants you to doubt yourself so that you will feel like you can never trust anybody again. And people that have walls up are the most miserable people in the world. They put their walls up because I'm not going to be hurt anymore. I'm not going to allow myself to be betrayed again. And these walls go up, and then they become an island. They isolate themselves. rather than insulate. They isolate themselves, and they become I saw a video yesterday of where these water buffaloes in the plains of Africa were being attacked by the lions, there was one water buffalo, and there was several lions jumping on this water buffalo and jumping the claw and trying to get him down and just kill him. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all these other lions came out. Just out of nowhere, they just came and began to join with the lion that was being attacked and ran the water. Y'all know what I'm trying to say, right? Can you make sense of that story? Over on this side, y'all make sense? Y'all make sense? Okay. I got the water buffalo and lion mixed up, but you know what I meant. Because all the others came out, the other one was able to live. Okay, all I'm saying is when we isolate ourselves from people, we are in a direct attack for the enemy. Is this okay today? Okay. Next time God calls you to do something, the next time God presents to you an opportunity, the next time God even speaks to you, you are reluctant and will resist to obey because I don't know if I can really discern the voice of the Lord. Say, I may not hurt, but I may not be healed. So that's what after Samson's betrayal. His eyes are gouged out. He can't see. Your ability to see God's calling, he's going to call you. Your ability to see things, God moving you in another opportunity, to see God opening a new door, to see that God is doing something better than you don't see those things anymore because there's too much doubt. There's no more trusting in the Lord with all your heart. How can I trust God when his children can't be trusted? But I want to tell you something. I believe God's about to do a new thing at Solid Rock today. I believe God's going to take his hand. He's going to reach way down in the hand. Oral Roberts used to sing a song, "When he reached down his hand for me." I believe God's going to reach his hand down inside of some of you today, and he's going to touch that spot, that part of your life that has been betrayed, that you've never gotten victory over, and you're going to walk out of here totally set free by the power of the living God. Somebody shout amen. 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 Samson was sold for a portion of money, and people have been betrayed for a whole lot less than that. Delilah betrayed him for dollars and cents. There's something on here I got to say real closely here. I think I passed it up. Bear with me. Okay. Delilah. How many knows the name alone? We don't hear many children today named Delilah, do we? In fact, somebody that names their children Delilah, I'd question if they ever read the Bible or went to church. But there's another lady in the Bible that was just as wicked and maybe more wicked, and that was Jezebel. I don't know anybody by the name of I do know somebody named Delilah. I don't know anybody named Jezebel. Do you? I don't know if anybody would name their child Jezebel. These two ladies knew how to manipulate. They knew how to control and knew how to lie to get what they wanted. Amen. So listen, there's no answer to justify what happens. There's no answer. There's no answer to that. We're going to have to live with the fact that we've been betrayed. But now, how do I get victory over that betrayal? How do I live in victory over that betrayal? Yes, I was betrayed. Yes, my wife was betrayed. Some of you have betrayed, but that's all right. I mean, we live with it. We don't let it stop us anymore.
That's right.
And when I say you don't, when I say after betrayal, it really questions your ability to discern the word of God. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. So what do I do, Brother Rhodes? What do I do when somebody betrays me? Well, I've got something here. I've got a great idea. You might want to write this down, or you may just want to go in one ear and out the other. But the next time somebody takes advantage of you or they do you wrong, you go down to CVS or go down to Walgreens, go down to where where they sell cards, those birthday cards and all those kind of cards. And you find the section that's for bereavement. And buy a bereavement card that says, "Sorry for your loss." And then you open it up and you sign your name to it. If you would have known who I was, you wouldn't have done that to me. If you could have appreciated what I bring to the table, you wouldn't have done that to me. You never should have broken me. But you know what? I'm sorry for your loss. Amen? Here's the second thing the enemy does, and then it's early. Should I preach another 45 minutes just to take it up till noon? Here's another thing that happens with betrayal. Not only does it cause you to question your ability to hear God or discern the voice of the Lord, but it also, a twin to that is anger. When you've been betrayed, one of the first responses is anger. Everybody shout anger.
Anger.
Anger. You get angry. Betrayal is meant to generate anger and thereby aborting your assignment that God has given you in life. Because how many knows you can't serve God with anger? Amen? I believe betrayal and anger are family twins. I believe they go hand in hand. And few things in life can get you as angry as a betrayal. Friend, spouse, employer, child, parent. Matthew 26, verse 20. When it was evening, Jesus sat down at the table with the 12. While they were eating, he said, "I'll tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one of them asked in turn, "Am I the one, Lord?" He replied, "One of you who has just eaten from this bowl will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scripture says. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays me. For it would be better if he had never been born." The King James Bible says, "Woe unto him." W-O-E. Woe unto him. You know what that is? The woe is a divine penalty. It's a divine penalty. It would have been better for Judas to have never been born. Nothing can anger and frustrate you more than betrayal. Amen. I'll say amen if you won't. You see, because what happens when I'll use myself instead of you, but what happens is when you get angry, you suddenly forget love your neighbor as yourself. When you get angry, the scripture that says do unto others as you'd have them to do it goes out the door. When anger comes in, you find yourself not caring what the Word of God says and taking care of it in the flesh. Am I right? Come on, church, am I right? Some of you drive to St. Louis every day. Am I right? Some of you deal with 270 traffic every day. Am I right? No betrayal, but lots of anger. You see, when you get angry, it's easy to say, "I'm going to lay hands on you." And I don't mean with anointed hands and oil. When I get angry, I'm no longer operating in righteousness. Now I've gotten into the flesh. I'm in revenge. And that's exactly where the devil wants to get us. I'm talking about betrayal this morning. It will paralyze you to discern what God's saying to you. It'll also cause anger to rise up within you to get you to do something stupid that you would have never done in your normal life. Amen? Amen. So let's drop down to verses 21 and 22 of back in Judges. Six. Verse 21 and 22. I'm almost done. Stay with me just a little longer. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. But before long, his hair began to grow back. Can somebody shout hallelujah? After all that Samson had gone through, all the pain, all the embarrassment, all the shame that he went through, his hair began to grow back out. No, he didn't get his vision back per se, but I believe he saw him conquering more on that last day of his life than he ever did in his previous history. His hair began to grow back. Somebody said, well, that means his strength came back. No, it's not about the strength. His hair was not about the strength. You missed it. It was the sign of his strength. Samson prayed to the Lord, verse 28, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. And God granted him that prayer. His strength, his anointing came back upon him. It wasn't his hair. It was the anointing of God that changed everything. Everybody say, God's my source. God's my source. God will always be my source. That house that you live in, that's not your source. That Mercedes you drive is not your source. That big boat you got parked down at the lake, that's not your source. Are you listening to me? Those designer jeans that you're wearing today, that's not your source. That big income that you make, that's not your source. God is our source. And no matter, listen to what I'm about to say here in closing, no matter how big the betrayal, no matter how much or how many times you've been betrayed, your source has not changed. Our source has not changed. Your source still walks with you and talks with you. He still holds you. He still has you. He'll never allow your betrayer to have the last word over you. Stay in faith. Stay in love. You might want to stay your distance from the one that betrayed you. I understand that. But keep your heart pure. Keep your heart clean. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning in closing. I'll invite the worship team to join us up here. Thank you, Jesus. Look at somebody and say, your hair will grow again. Turn to somebody and say, God still has his hand on you. You see, that's what I'm referring to when I say your hair will grow again. God still has his hand upon you. It's not over. Yes, you've been betrayed, but it's not over. You're still breathing. You still have a calling. You still have an appointment, an assignment by God. It's not over. Jesus was betrayed, but it wasn't over. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus was betrayed, hung on the cross and died, but it wasn't over. Amen. I don't believe God's going to let us be betrayed. Betrayal won't be the last chapter of our life. Let me say it like that. Betrayal will not be the last chapter of our life because God still has us. Amen. Betrayed by Judas, but that's not the end. Can imagine walking with your disciples for 3.5 years, pouring into them, teaching them, loving them, helping them to see the kingdom of God. And then at the last, one of them says, I'll sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Betrayed. And you know what? That might have been how Jesus got to the cross and how Jesus got to the tomb. But how many knows it wasn't over? There's always a Sunday coming down the road of life to us. Say this with me. Betrayal is not the end. The hurt is not the end. And I pray that God will heal the hurt of the betrayal that you've gone through. That you'll bring your walls down. and not and let people in. Let people in because we need one another. That water buffalo needed his buddies. How about it? You willing to do that today? Pastor, I've been hurt. I've been talked about. I've been betrayed. I've been stabbed in the back. Listen, I've been all of those. And I'm nobody special. But I want you to know one thing. God can heal you through every hurt, every betrayal, every letdown. Yeah, I know that business partner took you for 90% and left the country. I got a pastor friend in Tanzania whose church secretary left with the building fund several thousand dollars, tens of thousands, left him, left the church, took the money with him. But Brother Solomon, I know there's no bitterness in your heart, brother. I know that Dr. Solomon is a man that walks in love, even though he was betrayed and done wrong by somebody very close to him. You know, I know Luke knows, and I know Lou knows, and I know Dwayne knows, wherever Dwayne is. Dwayne back there? This guy, I can never find him in church. He's always somewhere, but he's here. We've had associate pastors at Solid Rock. We install them as associate pastors and brag on them and build them up and take offerings for them and love on them and do things for them. And then they get it in their head that all of a sudden they've got a little following of their own, so I think I'll run down here to Main and Jackson Street and start a church. Or Jackson and Columbia and start a church. So they take people with them and go start the church. We still stand. We still worship God. Amen. We still preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. One man stole our mailing list from our office, took our mailing list and everybody's members' names and addresses, telephone numbers and everything, took it all. I don't know how we had it. I guess it was hard copies back in those days. You know, he wanted to call them all and invite them to his new church. So I know what it's like to be stabbed in the back. That didn't happen one time, nor did it happen two times, but it happened three times. And if it happens again, I'll kick Tiff and Lou in the rear end. That's why you put your children in. Close your eyes and say this with me. Lord, I thank you. In spite of the betrayals, my hair is going to grow back. You are the source of my strength. You always have been. Thank you for keeping your hand upon me when others were betraying us. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the word today. God, I know it was somewhat of a solemn message. I know it was somewhat maybe not real inspirational. But God, I feel like there's people in here today that have hidden wounds. You'd never know by just looking at them, Lord, because they smile, they shake your hand, they say, I'm blessed. But God, we know that inside they're hurting, they're falling apart. So God, I'm going to ask you this morning to confirm your word with signs following. I want to ask you if you'd join me right down in the front here this morning. I started to say those that have been betrayed, but I think I'll just ask everybody to move to the front this morning. You've not only have you been betrayed, but you're overcoming betrayal, or you have overcome betrayal. But I want to say, everybody, just come down just as close to the front as you can. Lead us in a song, Dylan.
I trust in God, my Savior.